Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqin, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Much remembrance of Allah, dhikran kathira, a means of creating love. Introductory words. In the last selection, Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, madda dhillahu al-ali, had spoken on a saying of the Honorable Mawlana Tanwi, rahmatullah alayh. It was the essence of tasawwuf and unyielding effort towards it. A question here. We hear about tasawwuf, we hear about shariat, tariqat and sharia. Are tasawwuf, tariqa, tasawwuf and shariat, are they different things? People imagine that tasawwuf and sharia are different things, and they give them a wrong meaning. Yes, they may be different according to the meanings the people give them. Their commands apply to different fields, but they are complementary. Without tariqa, sharika lacks the soul, the ruh, and without sharia, tariqa is misguidance. Without tariqa, without tasawwuf, shariat lacks the soul. A person might perform salat 15 years, 20 years, fasting, doing hajj, but it lacks the ruh, it lacks the soul. It's a dry type of ibadat. And then a person goes on tasawwuf tariqa, he doesn't have sharia, that is misguidance. So they both complement each other. Each is interdependent of the other. It is like a man who offers the salah and keeps fast, which means that he abides by the commands of the sharia. Fasting, salat, abiding by sharia. But if his worship is ibadat, if it lacks sincerity, then it is soulless. It is without ruh. Hence, they are interdependent on one another, and it is necessary to acquire both at one time. Tariqa adds soundness to the commands of the sharia. Difficult to correct each deed. Who can correct each deed? It is not possible to inject sincerity in every deed, one after the other, like salah, then fasting, again the other commands like hajj, zakah. A person will never acquire that all through his life. Rather, there must be something on having which it is easy for a person to have sincerity in all his efforts. There must be something. And what is that? Nisbat. It is a relationship with Allah. An intelligent female slave, the respected Maulana, has cited an incident. There was once a king. A king was having an audience, and he was in a very generous mood, very generous mood. He told the people present that there were so many precious things in the chamber, like gold, silver, and so on. And if anyone puts his hand on anything, then that belonged to him. Hardly had he finished speaking when there was a mad rush in the king's chamber, and someone ran towards gold, someone to silver, someone to pearls, and so on. A female slave was standing near the king, and instead of running here and there, she wasted no time in putting her hand on the king's head. She thought that it was foolish to run all over when she could have the real thing and thereby get all the little things like gold and silver. The king asked her why she did not do as others did. She said, "You had declared that when anyone placed his hand on anything, he would have it. So I have chosen you and now have a share in all that you own." Subhanallah. After love of Allah, everything is easy. After love of Allah, everything is easy. This is what the Sufis do. This is what the Sufis do. They place their hand on the king. When they create a relationship with Allah, love for Allah, it is as though they place their hands on the king. When that is done, everything can be had, because love of Allah and nisbat relationship with him form the basis of all worship. This is why the respected Maulana laid emphasis on trying to get it. Though it may seem to be beyond one's power, yet the means to get it are within one's ability. The means are within one's ability. So if you obtain the means, then inshallah, the love will grow. The Maulana has enumerated many means to create this love in the saying. I will speak in some detail on each of them. May Allah grant all of us this love and nisbat, relationship with Allah. Ameen, ameen. It is necessary to acquire each of these means together at one time. When all of them are acquired, then inshallah, we will acquire the love according to our capacity. Once that is gained, everything will be received. Much dhikr. The first ingredient for that, to acquire the love of Allah and nisbat connection, the first ingredient for that is much remembrance of Allah. Plenty dhikr. The more one engages in dhikr, the more will love increase. It's just like that. The more one engages in dhikr, the more will love increase. This is why the Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember Allah with plenty of dhikr. Wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. And do his tasbih, glorify him in the morning and the evening. In this verse of the Quran, Allah says about remembering him, dhikran kathira, with plenty dhikr. What does Allah gain? If Allah commands us to make much remembrance, dhikr, of him, then does he gain anything by that? If anyone believes in Allah, then he also believes that he is independent of everyone and everything. If all the creatures only make his dhikr and do nothing else, or they keep themselves in sijda all their life, Not even an atom's worth will be added to his might or glory. Subhanallah. And if even all the creatures resolve to disobey Allah and neglect his dhikr, and even if they are disrespectful to Allah, we seek refuge in Allah from this, yet still, nothing is distracted from his might, glory, and greatness. Whatever the condition, whatever the hal, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah is alive. Whatever the condition, La ilaha illallah is alive, as it is always. That being is not dependent. Jamia Masjid Qurtuba, Mufti Taqi Uthmani Damat Barakatuhum Wa Afiyatum said, I had the opportunity to visit the Jamia Masjid of Qurtuba, that is Cordova in Spain. There was a time when this masjid was full of worshippers. When this masjid was full of worshippers, sijda and prostration in it. Before the Masjidun Nabawi was expanded, this was the largest roofed mosque. To keep its lights on during each night, hundreds of kintar of oil was used. All people of Andalusia, Spain, came here to offer the salah and prostrate, make sijda. It was a center of learning. Great scholars, ulama, including the great mufassir of Quran, Allama Qurtubi, alayhi rahma, imparted knowledge in this mosque. This mosque was crowded with people who prostrated for hundreds and hundreds of years. The same mosque today. Today, if you go there in Cordova in Spain, Cordoba, the mosque is converted into a church. Music is set aside for the Muslims to visit the mosque, but they are not allowed to offer salat in the mosque. When I went there, I had a friend with me, and we decided to offer the salat, come what may. So he called the adhan for the salat of Asr, and we offered the salat in jama'at, in a congregational form. When I was in the sijda, and recited, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, I experienced a strange sensation. What was that strange sensation I experienced? There was once upon a time when thousands of men went down into sijda in this masjid, and these very words of Subhana Rabbi al-A'la resounded in the masjid, and the adhan was called regularly from its minarets. Every inch of this masjid was shining with knowledge. In contrast today, it is as it is. The adhan can be called only in secret and fear, and the salat can be offered when no one can see. But that being was high in those days and is still high today. Passage of time is of no effect. Come spring or autumn, when hundreds of thousands prostrated, he was the only God and the glorious and the high. And today, when there is no response to the call, he is still the only God, glorious and high. Dhikr is beneficial to ourselves. Therefore, if nothing matters to him, whether anyone remembers him or not, worships him or not, and his majesty and glory are in no way affected, then why does he, Allah, ask us to remember him often, dhikran kathira, and to glorify him, wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila, morning and evening? Why? He asked us to do that for our own benefit. He says, if my slave remembers me frequently, my love will make a home in his heart and he will build a relationship, nisbat, with me. When that strengthens, that will prevent him from committing sin, evil, cruelty, violating right, and from hell. So we are given the command to make much dhikr for our own benefit. One way to do it, one of its ways, is to remember Allah morning and evening throughout. Do nothing else. Say, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah. Recite, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. In olden days, mentors prescribed this method for their disciples and asked them to do nothing else. The result was that the rota of the saintly men of those times was so heavy that today we are amazed at that. Abu Hanifa's case, rahmatullah alayhi. One day, Imam Abu Hanifa, our Imam in Fiqh, rahmatullah alayhi, wa nawwarallahu marqadahu, wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim, ameen. One day, Al-Imam Al-Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, was passing by a path when an old woman remarked, he is the man who offers the Salat of Fajr with the same wudu he makes for the previous Salat of Isha. Fajr with the same wudu from Isha, that's the man. But this was not his practice. Rather, he used to get up in the last part of the night and offer tahajjud, yes. When he heard the old woman, he felt ashamed of himself for not coming up to the mark of her expectation of him. So for the rest of his life, he measured to that standard, and the wuzu that he had made for Isha was intact till Fajr from that day. This indeed was putting into practice Allah's command, Udhkurullaha dhikran kathira, remember Allah with much remembrance. Allah's name, and it is said for over 40 years, he continued with the practice of Fajr and Isha with the same wudu. Not just 1 year, but for 40 years. Allah's name 125,000 times. In the olden days, the sheikhs asked their disciples to call Allah's name 125,000 times every day. That was in the olden days. This was the practice in those days. I wonder how many times we do it today. 300, 400, 500. This was the practice in those days. If one comes along this path, then he must work hard. Responsibility for madrasa. I heard my respected father, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, say that the administrator of Darul Uloom Dioband, Maulana Habibur Rahman Rahmatullah Alayhi, was an organized man of caliber. It was not easy to run the Darul Uloom in those days. My father said that he was such a great organizer, an administrator, that he deserved to be a prime minister. Allah had bestowed on him a great ability. The muhtamim, administrator of a madrasa, hold a tough job. It is said that this word muhtamim is derived from the word ham. Ham means worry, and the muhtamim is always worried. There is always someone at his door, on the telephone, on his route from the mosque to home, the muhtamim of Dioband and the amount of dhikr. The administration of a madrasa is such that two things are very difficult to do at the same time, writing and dhikr. But Mawlana Habibur Rahman Rahmatul Alayh was the muhtamim of Darul Uloom Dioband. Yet it was his practice to repeat the name of Allah, 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 Allah 125,000 times every day. He never put off this practice any day. If one has to walk on this path, then he will have to make some effort. And if you make the remembrance of Allah, then his love will grow in your heart. Allah's mercy is on the weak too. However, just as Allah's rahmah, mercy, is on the strong and courageous, so too Allah's mercy and rahmah is on the weak like us. We would be nowhere if we were prescribed the same procedure as practiced by Mawlana Habibur Rahman. Which one of us could do that? So you know what? Allah is so merciful. Hence, a mujaddid is sent in every age. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Inna Allaha yab'athu ala ra'si kulli miyati sanatin may yujaddidu hadha ad-din," aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith of Abu Dawud. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a mujaddid at the end, at the beginning of every 100 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends one who will revive and bring back life to his deen and his religion every 100 years. Ala ra'si kulli sanatin, at the head, at the start of every 100 years. So a mujaddid, one who revives the deen of Allah, because sometimes Muslims become sick, weak, diseased. But Allah through his mercy sends one who is called a mujaddid, a very big saint, a wali of a great high order, who revives this religion every 100 years he is sent. He revives iman, faith, and he revives the sunnah that are forgotten. And he prescribes a procedure or practice for the people according to their temperament and capabilities. Act on the prescription of the weak. Indeed, Allah had made Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Alaytu, he had made him a mujaddid in this field. If he had instructed the people to observe what their predecessors had been doing, then all of them would have neglected the prescription and none would have stepped on this path. A prescription can't work today. So he gave them a prescription of the weak. The prescription we have today is the prescription of the weak. But Allah is there for the strong and Allah is there for the weak. The bay'ah of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Rahmatul Alayh. My father had pledged allegiance. He took bay'ah with Sheikh al-Hind Rahmatul Alayh. When he died, Sheikh al-Hind, my father thought of pledging allegiance, taking the bay'ah with Hakimul Ummah, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Ali Rahma. But he could not muster courage because of the strict rules and regulations and strenuous routine. My grandfather, Mawlana Yasin Rahmatul Alay, was a classmate of Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatul Alay. He took my father to the Mawlana at Thana Bhawan and instructed him to make bay'ah with Mawlana Thanwi. My father said that he submitted to Mawlana Thanwi alayhi rahma. "I wish to offer bay'ah to you and reform myself, but I am very weak and cannot do anything much like more worship, zikr, etc. So I am afraid that if I pledge bay'ah to you and fail to observe its demands, then what is the good of doing so? This religion, this deen is for all. He also said that he was very busy in learning and teaching, dars and tadris, learning and teaching and giving edicts and fatwas. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said to him, why do you worry? Is religion, is deen, is Islam only for the strong? Is it not for the weak also? Is it only for the idle? Islam is only for the idle and not for the occupied? I will show you a path on which you will not have to exert yourself much nor devote much time to it. I will show you that path. However, Maulana told him, his father, listen to one thing. Listen to one thing. Keep away from sin. Keep away from sin. And for that, you do not need strength. You only need a firm resolve, not physical strength, firm resolve. Rather, physical strength is needed to commit sin. Besides, no time is wasted on keeping away from sin, while time is wasted on perpetration of sin. Secondly, so do that one thing for me, stay away from sin. Secondly, do not do anything unnecessary, useless, bekar, for time is wasted on it and energy is spent without gain. So don't do anything unnecessary. And if you have an opportunity, specify some regular practice for yourself. Who makes dhikr and what is it? Observe the difference in the prescription of the predecessor Sufis, our predecessors, and of Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. Why is there a difference? Actually, what he prescribed is a free thinker's way, a shortcut. In other words, the Qalandar's path, Tariqul Qalandar. It means that one may or may not make dhikr with the tongue, but his relationship with Allah must be intact all the time. It means that one may or may not make zikr with the tongue, but his nisbat with Allah, relationship with Allah, must be intact all the time. For zikr is not, zikr, remembrance of Allah, is not to only utter some words with the tongue, but truly it is to remember Allah in some form. That's the true meaning, to remember Allah in some form. Like expressing gratitude to him. When you say Alhamdulillah and you feel grateful, that is dhikr. Showing patience, that is the dhikr. Reciting Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un on some calamity, that is the dhikr. Seeking refuge in Allah, A'udhu Billah, dhikr. Making a dua, dhikr, are all forms of dhikr and remembering Allah. In fact, our elders have said that one who does something in obedience to Allah is engaged in dhikr. Once you are doing something in obedience to Allah, you are engaged in dhikr. If you form a correct intention, if you are sincere and on a correct direction, then whatever you teach is dhikr. Your teaching is dhikr. Once your niyat is sincere, once you are on a correct direction, then whatever you teach is dhikr. Whatever you study is dhikr. If anyone is driven with a spirit of service to Allah's creatures, khidmat, as a doctor, he's a doctor, but he's driven by service to Allah's creatures. He has this worry. A trader, driven by service to Allah's creatures. And he has Allah's pleasure in mind and observes the limits of the Sharia, given the rights due on him and following the Sunnah, then he also is engaged in dhikr. Make istighfar on the pass. Maulana Tanwi said to him, to my father, when he took bath with him, I ask you to do four things. When you recollect the pass, you will also remember your sins or shortcomings. So make an istighfar for that. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilay. This is because if the sin was committed, a repentance has to be made. Sometimes you do not think of something you have done as a sin. But you know what? It is a sin. So you must make an istighfar for it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made this dua in the istighfar. Wa tajawaz amma ta'alam, and overlook and forgive us for that which you are aware of. Fa innaka ta'alamu ma la na'alam, because you know that which we do not know. So make a istighfar on recollecting the past. Make a istighfar. There are two conditions, gratitude or patience on the present. In any present time that a person is, two conditions, gratitude or patience. The present, which is called hal, now, the time that we are in now, any present, is not without two conditions. Either you experience comfort and happiness, or you find something discomforting that hurts you. There are no other ways. Every present is not without two conditions. Remember that. Either you experience comfort and happiness, or you find something discomforting that hurts you. In the former case, thank Allah and say, Allahumma lakal hamd wa laka shukr, wa Allah, for you is hamd and for you is all thanks. Allahumma lakal hamd wa laka shukr. If you are sitting in good, pious company and are comfortable with the overhead fans in the heat, then you are in comfort. Then you must thank Allah for this opportunity afforded to you. But if the electricity fails and the fans do not operate, you are in discomfort now, then show patience. Show patience and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is called istirja. And whenever anything makruh, dislikable, has happened to us, this is what we say. Show patience and say this. Give thanks inwardly, inwardly. Two things can happen in the present. Two things can happen in the present. If it is something pleasing, then thank Allah in your heart. If you also express thanks with your tongue, then that is good, heart and tongue. Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatul Alay, used to say, if you give thanks to Allah inwardly, then you have done a great thing, because no one knows that you have performed some worship inwardly. No one knows, only you and Allah know that. So there is no possibility of ostentation, show. But you achieve high ranks. For example, like the wind blows, and inside of you, you say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Some good feeling, some good thought. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And you say it inside. Nobody even knows what you are doing. Gratitude is a great, great form of worship. Gratitude is no ordinary form of worship. It is such a great kind that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anyone gives thanks after having a meal, then he gets as much reward as one who fasts. Wow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anyone gives thanks after having a meal, then he gets as much reward as one who fasts gets on being patient. Fasting man, and he's keeping patience on his fast, what reward he's getting. But the same way, if you eat and a man is eating and is grateful, he gets the same reward as that fasting man gets on his patience. Gratitude is a kind of worship that protects man from the attacks of the devil. It protects him from the attacks of the devil, gratitude. So you do something good, you give a nice recitation. Wow, you recited Quran so beautifully. Or that was very, very good. You did that well, excellent. To protect yourself from the devil and from shaitan and from arrogance and pride, gratitude, thank Allah, wala you is you, wala you work this through me. I'm an instrument. It protects you. Hence, take your mind to the least perceptible blessings to which no mind generally goes and give thanks for it. Do not utter words of ingratitude. That's very bad. May Allah save us. Ameen. Some people always look at the dark aspect of everything. Negative people. Negative people. Always look at the dark aspect of everything. Such people are pessimistic. They are called pessimists. They do not see good in anything. They don't see good in anything. May Allah save us from being among such people. Allahumma ameen. If we ask them how they are, they'll begin to complain. Though a Muslim should say, Alhamdulillah, thanks are due to Allah. But you ask them, how are you? Complaints start. Today, even knowledgeable people pour out a list of complaints on being asked about their health. Lists of complaints. Or they say, time does pass, but this also means that they are unhappy. You say, well, your time going. They are in other words, Allah is to blame. We seek refuge in Allah from such thought. For Allah's sake, do not be ungrateful. For Allah's sake, do not be ungrateful. Do recall Allah's blessings and do not utter words of ingratitude and always complain and be negative and look at the dark aspect of everything. Give thanks and count His favors. Allah's favors pour in every moment, during the day and during the night, and His blessings are innumerable. A little trouble is nothing. A little trouble is nothing compared to all of that, isn't it? But today we do not think of the blessings, yet we cry loudly over a petty hardship. So accustom yourself to thank for the blessings and you will then be able to see the favors you get and will give thanks for them. You will also see the fact and you will then understand the Quran when the Quran says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you count Allah's blessings, you cannot reckon them and count them. If you try to count them, you can't count them. You will then understand this ayat. So do think of these blessings and give thanks. We have seen, therefore, that there are two things in the present. Always remember, two things in the present. Two conditions in the present. To thank or to be patient. To thank or to be patient. It's either comfort or some discomfort. To thank or to be patient. Hardship is faced rarely. Try always and remember and think that thanks dominates patience, because Allah's blessings dominate hardships. So thanks dominates patience, because Allah's blessings dominate hardships. Things that hurt afflict us rarely. It's not like every day, every minute, affliction, no. Allah's blessings dominate hardships, and things that hurt afflict us rarely. The Quran says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْقَوْفِ. Indeed, we are going to test you with something of fear, of an enemy, some fear. وَالْجُوْ, test you with something of hunger. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, test you with shortage of wealth. وَالْأَنْفُسِ, shortage of lives and selves. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, shortage of fruits. That says He's going to test us. But Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those who are patient. He gave great glad tidings to one who shows patience on this trial. It is a trial. And He Himself gives great glad tidings. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to the sabirin. So thanks must outweigh patience. Things that hurt are few, while most of what we get are blessings. Favors outweigh So thanks must outweigh patience. You may do it by keeping your tongue engaged in gratitude to Allah. Your heart must be grateful to Him. Every moment of your life, whatever you are doing, you must keep thanking Allah. Whenever your work is made easy, say, Allahumma laka alhamd wa laka shukr. Allahumma laka alhamd wa laka shukr. Alhamdulillah. Wallah, all praises for you, and for you is all thanks. Say the same thing. At every convenience, say the same thing. And seeing a good sight, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And being touched by a cool breeze, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And entering home and seeing the children play, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And having a meal, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And even feeling hungry, it's a gift. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Always. This does not call for effort or time, but it is dhikr. This is dhikr. Dhikr, which abounds on the tongue. No one perceives that you are engaged in zikr. Somebody looking at you will never even know you're in zikr. Only he who should know that his slaves give thanks. Only he who should know knows. Only he who should know knows that his slave gives thanks and remembers him. Every time he remembers Allah, a relationship is built with Allah. Nisbat is being built. Nisbat with Allah is built. Thus, a person is engaged every moment in either giving thanks to Allah or in showing patience, or he prays to Allah. As a result, his relationship with Allah is strengthened. This strong relationship is called nisbat in the terms of the Sufi. Nisba, relationship, connection with Allah. He met us in the heart. And Majzub said in his poetry, he was so near that we met in the heart. Though I was going with a distance in mind, but he was so near that we met in the heart. Though I was going with a distance in mind, I was going here and there till a man of perception guided me, saying, no need to go too far. He met me in my heart. Hence, if you give thanks all the time and pray all the time, the link is intact. This will mean that the link is intact all the time. Then he meets you. He meets you in your heart. This was the task, and this is the task of the present time. For future, seek refuge. This is for the present. What about the future? What's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month? For the future, seek refuge. That leaves us with the question of the future. A man is always apprehensive of the future. Would I be rich? Would I be weak? Would I be sick? Would I be healthy? What's going to happen? This is about all departments of his life. He's always worried about the future, about all departments of his life, from business to examinations to employment. There are thousands of them. The cure for that is to say, A'udhu billah, A'udhu billah. I put myself in the protection of Allah. Oh Allah, I fear this. Oh Allah, I fear this, I fear that. I seek refuge in you from this apprehension. I seek refuge in you from this apprehension. I put myself in your shelter and care. I place myself in your care, oh Allah. Seek refuge in Allah from every apprehension and fear. He is among those who make zikr. If a person seeks forgiveness of Allah for his past, gives thanks, and perseveres in his current days and seeks refuge in Allah for the future. Wow, here it is summarized for us. Summary. A person seeks forgiveness for Allah for his past. He gives thanks and perseveres in his current days, present. And he seeks refuge in Allah for the future. Then not a moment of his life is without the dhikr of Allah. He is engaged in dhikr all the time. This is called dhikri kalbi, a dhikr of the heart, dhikri kalbi. And people don't even know you're making dhikr, dhikri kalbi, remembrance in the heart. It is true, this dhikri kalbi, remembrance of Allah in the heart, through this, that the relationship with Allah is achieved. It is through this zikri kalbi that nisbat, relationship with Allah, is achieved, to which otherwise tremendous effort and exercises are directed. Here it is achieved very easily, otherwise it would take many exercises to achieve that. But here it is achieved very easily. One only has to take it up, just take it up. This is an easy, beneficial, and very effective way to much remembrance of Allah, dhikran kathira. Maulana Thanwi, rahmatul alayhi, has taught us this method in this saying of his, as we come to an end, conclusion, keep thinking of blessings. Nothing happens by merely talking about it, nothing happens. One has to exercise for it, make effort. He has to accustom himself to it. So first of all, make it a habit to remember Allah's blessings. Look around yourself and count the blessings available to you. Your mind might not go to them, but ponder over it. See from your head to toe, see from your head to toe. This is the first step to the zikr of Allah. May Allah enable all of us to make much zikr of Him. Ameen. Wa akiru da'wana. An alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun alal mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't.